This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think that's a very good attitude.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
It's the Bulldog.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you
it's
are.
Mike Shope and are. The Bulldog no, on WGR Sports Radio 550.
So, I'll preface this by saying, I know, yes, there's already enough hate in the world, but have you figured out yet how to hate Aaron Glenn?
No.
What's it going to take? We need you on this.
I mean, I guess I could pretend to fall for one of those fake Facebook things where he's talking about what a jerk he thinks Josh Allen is or something. I don't even know if that exists, but it almost definitely does. But I think it would take that. I went through the bio and his career, and I married his college sweetheart. I got into the personal file. I got nothing.
You did get after him a little bit.
I did. Yeah. You want to check my history, my browser history? I googled some Aaron Glenn this week.
I don't even want to acknowledge the history because then I'm going to get stuck with whatever these Facebook things are you keep bringing up. I don't even want to say it.
Yeah, right. your computer's going to hear us say that, and then you're going to start getting them.
I mean, I'm never on there.
I just don't know how I ended up in that circle of hell, but I am. Anyway, no, I have not managed to get anywhere. Could I try? I guess I could try. I said you aren't going to play and you're not on my team if you make mistakes, and they cut their punt returner after a fumble on Sunday.
This is the guy that beat the Bills
last
overtime.
Year. Yeah.
2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I don't know. That might be an overreaction. Okay, tough guy. But I'm bending over backwards trying. He's too new.
It was Dan Leberfeld yesterday who brought up. I love that Dan almost always asks us a question or two in the course of our conversations with him. And he's like, what did you guys think of how we handled Aaron Rodgers? And, you know, you and I are mostly the same here. We really don't like Aaron Rodgers. So to have him fly in so we could fire him, you know, maybe that was a little rough.
Yeah,
When
Dan asked us that, I said objectively, like without my personal feelings about Rodgers entering it, that seemed like it might have been unnecessary. But I did hear back from some fans that reminded me, and this, I think, was brought up at the time when Rodgers was reportedly miffed at how they asked him to do that. that he wants in-face, you know, in-person meetings. Didn't want...
He got one.
So, you know, what are you supposed to do there? But you know, I still think you could have probably avoided doing that to him. I think Aaron Glenn did that. See, this makes me like him, but it's because I'm biased. I don't like Rodgers. I think he did that to embarrass Rodgers because Rodgers embarrassed the Jets. And he's trying to tell you it's a new day here. We're going to be doing things differently. We're not going to be a joke anymore. And I respect him trying to do that. And I don't know that Sean McDermott would have done something like that. But, I mean, he did. He put heads on posts, you know, a few months after he got this job. You know, in mid-August, he traded away Sammy Watkins and Ronald Darby, guys that were, mm-hmm. you know, relatively high picks. Darby, I think, was a second. Watkins, obviously, was a first-round pick. And they were expected to be key contributors, and he just went like, no, you're not my style or the style I want, and you're goodbye. Glenn doing this with Rod, I mean, Rodgers is obviously a bigger star than both of those guys put together, but it's the same concept. You know, I want people to know it's going to be different, and if that takes embarrassing a future Hall of Famer, I mean, I guess so be it. What do you care more about, Rodgers' feelings or the team you like? Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. the Jets. So I even can't really get after him for that, even though I do admit I think it's maybe somewhat petty, but I think there was a larger picture in mind when he did it.
All right. Well, by bringing this up, I think you're even starting to like him more.
Yeah, that's really disappointing. Yeah.
It's not helping.
Yeah, no, it's not.
The cause.
No, it's not.
Bulldog's reputation is famous for hating the coach of whoever the Bills play.
Do the Bills play next week? Miami? Oh, that'll be easy.
You think?
Yeah, I think that won't be a problem. I don't really hate Mike McDaniel, but he's easy to pick at this point. He's always been easy to pick at, actually, I think, because he was so sort of outside the box.
I feel kind of bad for him, McDaniel.
I get that.
I mean, I bought that he was really good. The start was incredible. I mean, that 2 years ago when they were scoring the 70 points and everything, and it really did seem – I was convinced. I mean, there were concepts – that were new and teams had really no idea for a while what to do about it. But they've had lots of...
Everybody caught up.
There's that. You know, it's not going to last forever. But they were pretty good. And, you know, he's got some big personalities there to deal with. And the GM hasn't put a good team on the field in like 10 years having been there. Or, you know, I don't know. I don't think he's getting a lot of help is all I mean by that, yep. McDaniel. And now, well, we'll see what happens Sunday. They're actually favored against New England. AFC East, AFC East meetings this week. Aaron Glenn was on the Jets as a player the last time I might say the Bills and Jets were both good. They're interesting in terms of the rivalry stuff.
Yeah.
The Jets, with the Bills anyway, because they've rarely ever both been good. You know? Late 90s. They were both good. 98, there was a big game here that the Jets won on a Saturday. That might have been for the division or just about was for the division. Flutie and Testaverde. Like, so there was then, and I guess the early 80s, they were in the playoffs together. That would have to count. Mm-hmm. But it was almost like a one-off, and then one or both teams went away. Like the Bills in the mid-80s, and then the Jets were bad when Kelly was peaking. And since...
Yeah, even with Ken O'Brien, like they were never really a threat to the Bills. It was always Miami.
The O'Brien Jets would kind of club the Bills, you know, like, again, mid-80s there. There were some blowouts, at least a couple I can think of. But since, like, 2000, really, like, what's the biggest game they've ever had with this team? Twice a year.
The Jets with a chance to go to the playoffs with a win in the finale here, and Fitz throws three picks.
And you had nothing to play for.
Right. All you had was spoiler for the Jets.
The early season games, and there have been a bunch of them, like this one, the game 2 years ago in week one, where like that feels like a big game because you're not off the ground really yet, or at all in that case, you know, when it's the opener. There was a Thursday night here 10 years ago. Remember that game? Super high-scoring game that the Jets won on a Thursday night.
Is that when Greg Roman got fired?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
And the Bills, in their history of offensive coordinator firings, only do it after the offense was great or the special teams blew the game or whatever it was, like with Dorsey. But, you know, Miami and New England, the rivalry topics come up and they're always the same, you know, like the Patriots and their domination with Brady and Belichick. I mean, that's still pretty fresh. And then Miami is like your dad's version of the Patriots, right? I mean, over the 70s and all that. But the Jets really, I don't know.
No, the Jets don't have, both of those teams. I saw this because Dak Prescott is going for a 14th consecutive win over the Giants.
Is that right?
This week. Yeah, he lost his first year. I think they lost both games, and since then he has not lost to the Giants. So 14 is what he can get to, and the only quarterback who had more wins consecutively against a team was Greasy in the 70s, 17 in a row he was credited for. And then a little bit further down the list, I think tied right now with Prescott is Brady from the 2000s with 13. Because there was
that's, you know, the most it ever was 13 straight.
I guess that's what I, if my memory isn't too faulty from earlier today, that I saw that as it related to Prescott and the Giants playing this week. So the Bills are on that list twice, but there's no Jets. There is no era where really I would say one or the other. Really, I mean, I guess in the 90s the Bills maybe treated the Jets like a punching bag, but it wasn't any kind of tear of consecutive wins like that.
No, they had a bad loss to them at home, and I think 92 or 3. It was one of those 2 years where they were huge favorites and lost to the Jets. But right, like they didn't have like a long streak.
Some of us in Buffalo, I'm definitely among them, have a thing about the new, the downstate teams, just the superiority of the New York metropolitan area, New York City metropolitan area. And so, like, there's a sort of, I don't like this team thing. But other than that, which I think you got to really work at.
I feel that.
Yeah, the Jets don't do it the way Miami or the Patriots do. And they never really have. Because it's just they've never kept me from doing anything I wanted to do. Even that one playoff game, the Bills won.
That's right.
So they've never really been in the way of the Bills. And in fact, really the only time I think the Bills maybe were ever in their way is this Fitz game that I referenced from a few years ago where he threw picks late and cost them a chance to get to the playoffs.
Except 98. That was the one season where it was big between the two teams. You know, a lot of the rivalry stuff for me, and I think for most people, you think of the fans, right? I mean, the players come and go and get traded and move around. It's the fans who are the same. Like, you turn on a Bills at Jets game, like the one on Sunday, it, always looks the same, and it sounds the same, right? The J-E-T-S and all that you get.
Fireman Ed, yeah.
And because the Jets were good, like, when I was at that age getting into football, like, I still feel that every time. I still feel sort of like an anger toward them, that I have the rivalry in me with the Jets. Yeah. The Patriots, maybe likewise, as dominant as New England was over the Bills, I never really developed that because I was, an adult. Like, I never really developed the same. Mm-hmm. The Patriots were terrible at the same time, like early 80s, right? So, pretty much. And I don't know. There's a different sort of effect that turned the game on Bills at Patriots has on me. Not that it's like insignificant, but the Jet thing is really more there.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. Definitely. That's why, generationally speaking, Miami, for people my age, our age, still outranks New England, even though New England, in the current era, or in the era that it happened, and it's not current anymore, it's a few years, gone now, but the dominance was even more, to me, impressive and therefore annoying because, like, in the 70s, Miami was great, and, like, they had the same dudes on the team for, like, 18 years, it seemed like. They were just all the same guys. And I'm exaggerating for the point, but in an era where parity was, the thing in the NFL, to have a team lord over you like New England did is just – it just shouldn't happen, really.
Right.
The system is set up to prevent it from happening, and in the 70s, when Miami was doing that to you – there was no such system in place. They had great players. They weren't going anywhere, and you were stuck.
There was no way around it.
Right.
Yep. Well, I mean, the Patriot thing, as I'm saying it and we're talking about it, almost doesn't make sense to me. Like, why it is the idea, the word rivalry for what the Bills and Patriots were over the last 20 years is not even like the word, I think. It's just more pathetic that the Bills were so rarely able to sort of play on their level.
Well, that's what made the Miami thing so tasty in the 90s, is that if you were, again, our age and you lived through, for the 70s, seeing the Bills, they didn't go, you know, didn't run the table on Miami, but, you know, Miami had, there were playoff games, including an AFC title game in Miami, and you always kept them from getting the prize.
It's the best.
And so that's really good. So even though whatever the record would have been in that era when Kelly versus Marino, I mean, it's lopsided, but it's not dominant outright the way the 70s were in reverse. But still, it did enough. Like, that's where that juice came from. When the Bills started beating them, it just felt like three wins in one every time, just because it was so, there was so much scar tissue from the 70s. And, you know, New England, you know, when you're an adult, it's annoying and frustrating, but it's just, it doesn't cut the same way. I mean, I totally respect people who are 30 years old who feel that way about New England and don't feel really anything about Miami, because, you know, you're born when you're born. And the things that happen that impress you or make impressions upon you when you're little, those are often in sports the things that stick.
When it comes to the fans, too, I mean, I love that anytime it comes up, that AFC Championship Bills win in Miami is it's just one of my very favorite games to think about, is that day. There's something, the satisfaction of your team winning on the road and spoiling those people's day, as bad as that sounds, like, it's just very rich. But, you know, the jet point, turn the game on, that sounds like it sort of takes you right back to when that was a tough game. And New England is different. Miami, I just feel like they're all Bills fans in that stadium.
Right.
I mean, it's not over like the Bills in the 70s, but they just have completely, they own the Dolphins. Allen and the Bills. If I were a Dolphins fan, I have a good friend who is, and it's like us with New England, I think, right now with them. And the Dolphins have had better teams, by a little bit at least, than the Bills had in those years. But come on, like, it's just sort of a joke what the Bills-Dolphins thing has been. Remember last year? That was week two, the Thursday night in Miami. Mm-hmm. So it would have been tonight.
Right.
And Miami might have been favored in that game. It was like, okay, well, let's see what this is. And that game was such a joke. Like, Miami was just not on the same level at all. And that's what most of these meetings have really ended up like with the Dolphins. The Jets, I probably, you know, I'm a noted Jets fan. And
that's right.
Enthusiast.
You are often higher on them
than anybody.
The whole Rodgers time. I mean, the first year got undone, but going into it, you thought they were that was going to work, and then you thought it would work last year too.
It's probably the same thing about watching them in 1981 that makes me think they're actually good all the time. I don't know, but it's the Bills have won 8 out of 10. It's not like they always go there and struggle.
Just that there's close. You know, they're closer than you'd like. And the losses are pretty memorable, I'd say, right? I mean, you've got the opener where they knock Rodgers out, but Allen turns it over, I think, four times, three picks and a fumble. And then the loss there that precedes that one, if it's 8 out of 10, is the one where Allen had hurt his elbow but still managed to throw a ball 70 yards on target to Gabe Davis, who couldn't catch it. So the losses stand out, and the wins are often closer than you'd like them to be. Like last year's game there, of course, you know, I'm omitting the finale here where the Jets just laid down 40-0. Here comes Tyrod Taylor, and there's a couple of scores late, but holy cow. But the game there last year was tense. It was like, wow, why can't I just put this team down, is often how it feels when you're playing the Jets. I don't know, often. It's happened a few times.
Yeah, the last three games, the Jets have in New York, the Jets have won twice, like you just said. And then last year, the Bills won by a field goal. So what about this Jets team right now? The line is 7, 6.5, 7. We'll talk to Joe Ostrowski in 10 minutes about that, you know, our game, and then the rest of week two, which starts tonight, Washington at Green Bay. Are you buying them? I mean, I guess I can't be trusted to give you an honest answer for myself.
I want to We'll see about Justin Fields. I mean, he did. I watched almost every snap of that game on Sunday, and he did look really good. I gotta, you know, give credit where it's due. I think he did a really nice job, but you know, long year, like Dan said, Lubberfeld said yesterday, like you had a lot of time to prepare for that game. Let's see what, you know, you get into the rhythm of the season, how it goes. But I do think I liked the left tackle last year, Fashno, and pairing him with the kid they drafted this year, that looks nice. Like they could have some version of Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown there. And they're only 1 and 2 years, not even. They're 1 and 0 years into their careers. But the reviews are very good. This Membo had the highest grade from any offensive lineman in week one.
Against T.J. Watt.
Against T.J. Watt, often enough anyway. So I think they've got something going on there. And what Dan said to us yesterday about, you know, the loss of Vera Tucker, as good and great a player as he's been, they might even be better overall because the center has moved to guard and can be a good player. And maybe this, I don't know. I think they might be pretty stout up front is all I'm going. So I'm buying that. There's nothing to not like about Garrett Wilson or Breece Hall, I don't think. Beyond that, I'm not sure what I'm really dealing with, you know, from a skills perspective.
It's interesting timing for the Bills defense. And it's not like it went well against Baltimore, but you're playing something like Baltimore again here,
right?
With Fields and Breece Hall, kind of like maybe a poor man's
version
of the Ravens. Hall is great. I mean, when he gets, we'll see what he looks like. I mean, you watched the game on Sunday. Early in that game, he had a few great runs. I was hearing all summer how they were going to split time there with Braylon Allen, but that really didn't happen so much in that game, right? He was on the field a little bit. Allen vultured a touchdown in that game for the Jets, but still, like, Breece Hall showed his talent on Sunday.
Yeah, and defensively, they've got good. Quinnen Williams, you know, has been annoying. I think he's an excellent player up front. And the edge guys, I mean, Jermaine Johnson, I think, has had injuries, so I don't know what to really expect from him. But Will McDonald, I think, is pretty nice. Sauce Gardner's really good. So they've got, but they've lost, you know, they still have the nickel corner, the slot corner, right, is Michael Carter, but they lost Justin Reed, and so we'll see what they can do with the other corner spot. But I think the secondary is not as strong as it has been for them because of the loss of Reed. But there's known good players there, if not even great players. Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner might be great players.
The Bills may or may not have Ed Oliver for this game. We'll talk to Sal at 4 and see what's up with that. Oliver was seen in a boot today and is on the injury report and was not yesterday. So something is maybe up there. We'll see what that is. Joe Ostrowski from Bet Sweats coming up. Sal, as I mentioned, as well. And late, Paul Hamilton, as there is a hockey game of sorts tomorrow. Today. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Prospects stuff, and then the preseason will be here you know, in just over a week, I think, week and a half or so. So that's coming. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Joe O after this timeout here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bills and Jets Sunday at 1 here on WGR. Week 2 in the NFL gets going tonight with Washington at Green Bay. You ever open a website that has just so many pop-up things that it feels like your computer is dying from it?
Yes, I work here. Yes.
You mean it's harsh?
Just keep moving.
That's happening to me right now on one of my favorite sites, but it's just like bam, 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 yeah, bam, yeah, bam. Yeah, and it's, you know, in theory, it's safe for work.
There are certain sites, I don't want to name them, that I use every day that are, if we're talking about another team, say, and I've got their depth chart open, I'm the whole time we're talking to Dan Lieberfeld yesterday, I'm closing videos.
Yeah.
That are popping up and going. And they're not really causing me any harm. I can still see what I need to see, but like just out of principle, I just get out of here. I don't want this right now.
Right.
Leave me alone.
Well, I'm on the reference sites every 5 minutes, and there's always a video that starts, and I can't help but close it before I'm clicking the next thing. I'm already planning to go to the next page, but I still have to close that video first.
Right.
And then there it is again.
Yeah.
Joe Ostrowski with Sam Paniatovich. He hosts Bet Sweats on the BetMGM network weekday mornings, 9 to noon our time. Joe, how was your week one?
Shout out to Dan Shonka and our lads. He's a good man. I love those depth charts. And also around draft time, Walter Football, another one. I'm like, wait, Sam, can you see me on the video right now? Because I've got 20 pop-ups right now because I pulled up the latest mock draft.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, these people got to pay the bills. They got to keep the lights on. I understand. Yeah. I mean, you know, as do we, I suppose. I took a shot at us, too. So, you know, equal opportunity offender.
Only fair.
So how week one, thumbs up?
Thumb sideways, pretty neutral, win some, lose some. It was one of those as we're trying to figure out what exactly is going on. Yeah, right on some stuff, dead wrong on other stuff. It was kind of funny when you're wrong on something. Let's be way wrong on the Steelers Jets under.
Yep.
You know, stuff like that. They all count as one loss, so those you can kind of chalk as an L and keep your day moving and just sweat out Denver Broncos survivor picks all afternoon. Something I wasn't expecting to be doing. And Sean Payton losing his mind, Callahan losing his mind as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the ironic thing about week one, is that you couldn't lose in Survivor. You know, like, it's the week when we know the least about who these teams are, but I was rooting against Denver because of that. It's, you know, 12-10 in the third quarter, maybe, but all the favorites, well, I don't know if they all won, Joe, but there were no traps, I guess I would say.
Yeah, if you got knocked out this week, what are you doing? Why are you trying to be the smartest guy in
right.
the room? I was looking at the guys that were knocked out or the people, and it's like, really? You went with the Patriots?
Right.
Bears Monday night? Why? I don't understand what you were thinking.
Right, right.
But yeah, not too many spots. A lot of unders, a lower scoring week. I'm sure Mike in fantasy, that stood out as well. Like a number of quarterbacks way under 200 passing yards. So the unders went 12-4. Almost every over that hit was a primetime game. Of course, Sunday night, Monday night, Friday night with the Chiefs and Chargers.
Oh.
Those were three of the four overs that hit. So it was a low-scoring week to get things going. I guess that typically does happen. And favorites won.
How about that? You're reminding me. I had the under on the Chiefs game, and I lost by a half a point. And the Dallas game was skyrocketing. It was going to the moon, and it just shut down.
It started raining.
At 45,
and then
almost unprecedented for a game with that many points in the first half to not get to the over. So it was kind of a strange week in that way. Minnesota-Chicago, how did that game ever get to the over with how it looked for most of it?
Right.
What did you think of Bills-Ravens, Joe?
That was awesome, man.
What's there to say?
Yeah, I mean, it was phenomenal. I guess, Josh Allen proved he is the MVP. I guess you could make that argument. What it reminded me of was a question that you posed last week, and I'm sure it's something that you guys talked about all offseason, was how do we get to the Super Bowl and it's not one of these two teams? And you have Kansas City starting, and they end up losing. One of their key players goes down. The idea was that Worthy was going to be a big part of the offense, I believe. Missing multiple weapons again on the offensive side to start the season. And then you had that shootout and everything that occurred in that game. Like, how are you going to knock out probably both of those teams to get to the Super Bowl? That's where I went, guys. If you're looking for value, how are you going to knock down those top two to three quarterbacks in the AFC? It's going to be tough for those teams further down. So that was my first thought immediately. You did need so much to go your way, if we're being honest, but it all happened in those last 4 minutes.
You did this morning make a really interesting case for Pittsburgh. Maybe not as a top-tier team or the answer to the last point, but as maybe a team that could have a good year.
Yeah, as far as this week, I'm typically an underdog player. I'm looking for value on the team that is not expected to win. And you know, around the key numbers, I find that. And this week, there's one favorite that I like, and it is Pittsburgh. What Rodgers are we going to see moving forward? I'm not quite sure, but I am going to bank on Tomlin and that defense bouncing back. And part of it is, for this week, I'm selling hard on Seattle. I'm selling hard on Sam Darnold going to a new situation. What they do last week, put up 13, 14 points in that game against San Francisco. So I'm looking at sample size, and I'm willing to buy on Pittsburgh this week, going home, the Rodgers debut there, and I'm going to trust that defense. And Seattle has a good defense as well, but I expect the Steelers to take care of them.
Yeah, I think that game is pretty interesting from the standpoint of the Seattle coach has a lot of familiarity with Pittsburgh, but not Pittsburgh with Rodgers, obviously, because he was never in the division while Rodgers was there. But the Jets, even though that game was 34-32 and Rodgers threw four touchdowns, the Jets did get to him. So I might expect Seattle to make some noise in the backfield on him. It really depends on how he holds up to it. Last week, he held up great.
Offensive line always the issue with Pittsburgh, right? That's right. Usually what we end up talking about. Strong defense, of course, and we'll see about the run game now. But I get it. And you know, last week when we were talking about that Bills-Ravens line move, like, okay, what does this mean? And, you know, my takeaway, not that I'm right, but my takeaway was it really doesn't mean anything because of where we are. But I would say that is not the case this week, guys. When we look at the line movement with the Jets, it tells me a lot of stuff. Not only do we have a change from the look ahead when they reopen the numbers to where we are at this very moment. So the look ahead, it was 8.5. And there are a number of reasons that people are betting the Jets, and which I can get into. Some of it could be viewed as garbage, some not so much. And then it starts at 7. And then they bet on the Jets immediately. Then it goes down to 6.5. And that is where most of the betting market is. That matters because you went through the 7. You went through the second biggest key number, I'd say, for the most part, after 3, which is 7. And now you have Circa Sports is a big sports book in Vegas. They're known for taking big bets. If you're a sharp player, they will take it. They have limits like every sports book, but it is much higher than just about any other sports book. Circa right now is at 5.5.
Really?
So they went like through another kind of key number. You could call it a secondary key number down to 5.5. So there is a lot of money coming in on the Jets. My first guess, traditional stuff like the divisional home dog. They're coming off a loss. The offense looked good. You have a possible letdown. It was an all-in game for the Bills. How are they going to rebound from that? So I think there are a lot of different reasons for it. The smart money, as they would call it, is on the Jets. Smart money doesn't win everything. They just win more than the other guys.
Last three trips to the Jets have been close games for the Bills, and they've lost two of them. But they won last year by a field goal. So recent history, at least in that stadium, supports this. It's funny, like the Bills and Allen just completely own the Dolphins, but the Jet thing has been a little different. So it's been a little tougher for them. We'll see here. Joe Ostrowski with us on the West Shore Hotline. What do you like tonight?
I like the Commanders. I like the Commanders if you're getting 3.5. What's interesting is some sports books are at 3 and some are at 3.5. I thought everybody would be at 3 at this point, but Green Bay is as public as it gets. So the public is all in on the Packers. I'm reading this week, as you guys are, they're the second best team in football. No, they're the third best team in football. Okay. All right. I'm seeing Philadelphia, Green Bay better than both teams that played on Sunday night. All right. I will sell that, but I see what you're doing there. Look, I got criticized for this, but I think the better quarterback is the underdog in this matchup. And we're a couple of people that have bet on Jordan Love for MVP in the past. And maybe this is the time as his odds get cut in half after one whole game. But I'm concerned about the Green Bay offensive line, the health there. They may be missing a couple of starters there. I'm not a fan of the Commanders defense. I do think we'll see a little bit of regression here, but 3.5 points, guys, is too many for me, and we see it again. I don't see any reason to believe that Daniels is going to have a poor season. I like Debo's role to start and McLaurin as well on the offense. I think it's going to end up being at least a field goal game, and Washington's going to hang. Green Bay, the home team, has the advantage on Thursday night football, but early in the season, I don't think the travel's that big of a deal. I do like Washington here.
Okay. Any props?
Not a ton, but one I was looking at is Debo, and his receptions is set at 4.5. He had, 10 targets last week, 7 grabs, I believe, for 77 yards and got the touchdown. The nickelback, if any aspect of Green Bay's defense did not look good, it would be the nickel, and Debo was playing out of the slot a lot last week, so I think that would be a way for Washington to attack this Green Bay defense. As they're watching out for Micah Parsons and the rest of that fierce pass rush tonight. So get rid of the ball quickly. I think Debo's going to be involved once again.
If we didn't already cover it earlier, I watched your segment, or at least a big part of the segment from today's show with your buddy Sam about survivor picks. Mm-hmm. And Pittsburgh was one that you liked, and I think was it Sam that likes Dallas? Just looking down the road at when there will be a better time to use either one of those teams plays into that, right?
Yeah, so Sam's in with a group of guys in the Circa one, and he said they're going Buffalo. Like, that's what his partners want to do, and that's not my recommendation. That is not something that I would be doing, but I understand the idea that you think they're going to win. Let's just win, and we'll march on. It looks like, if you look at projected spreads for upcoming games, the Bills' point spread is likely to be the highest next week, yeah, in week 4 and in week number 5. So I would save Buffalo. There are going to be too many spots to go there. If you're in a small pool, my recommendation is just go the Ravens and move on. There's a reason it's the only game that is above 7 and it's above 10. That's what I would do coming off this loss. I don't see them starting 0-2 on the season. Divisional matchup might scare some people, but come on. I would go with the Ravens there. If you're looking down the board, yes, I think Dallas is a good option. I brought up Pittsburgh as well. And I'm looking at some of the other games near the top. You know, the Chargers are favored by more than a field goal. I'm not interested after the Brazil trip. I mentioned that I think Washington is going to make this a game. I would not go Green Bay. I would not go Cincinnati against Jacksonville. That's more than a field goal. The Bengals, they had an awful start again. I don't care that they won, guys. They should have ended up losing that game. Arizona, a little dicey, but they're favored by 7 now. I don't love Kyler at home. That game scares me a little bit, but I think people are going a little too far. Oh, Bryce Young sucks. We're back to how he was in the beginning right, of last year.
Right.
And, you know, this sounds strange when you look at the box score, but watching every snap of that game, I liked what I saw out of Cam Ward. I mean, they had, 7 first downs, 133 yards.
Yep.
I get it, but there were so many drops, and it was the worst possible spot on the road against probably the best defense in football. I know the Rams have a good defense, but he's coming home. I think he's going to get better as the season goes on and on. Maybe they end up hanging in that game, and it looks like the interior of that Rams offensive line is hobbled. So watch out for Simmons. So the Titans would actually scare me a little bit going home.
Survivor is simply not where I do my best work. I feel like my process is, which pick, if I lose, will I feel the least stupid about? That's it. 3-point favorite is a 3-point favorite. 7 is a 7. Like, I can read the numbers, but like you're great here, Joe. Like, you're going basically through all these games. Yeah, but this, you know. Yeah, but this. I know Trista likes the Rams, and well, you know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rookie quarterback, like, okay, but it's so there's always a but, and yeah. You know, it's just not where I do my best work, so you know, we'll throw a dart here at somebody.
I don't know. I feel like I don't know anything about the Lions right now, as ridiculous as that sounds. And you know, Ben Johnson has had this game circled. I know people are laughing at the Bears with the way it ended on Monday night, but he's had this game circled, and they had no run game to speak of. That offense needs to go through the run. I get it. Goff at home. Most are expecting a bounce back. I don't feel comfortable taking the Lions at this point. I want a larger sample without Ben Johnson and without Aaron Glenn.
Yeah. First couple times I glanced at the schedule, I wasn't really sure what to do. Then I watched this segment I mentioned with you and Sam this morning, and I decided Dallas. Because I've gone out in your thing, that I think 2 years now, or maybe, I think 2 years, real early. And I've never really, you know, taken advice. I just sort of looked at it and just made my own pick, you know, because I'm a man. And I thought, like, let me listen to the guys who know what the hell's going on here. And all right, I'm gonna tell, you know, whether you guys are on Dallas or not, you suggested it as a credible idea. I'm like, yeah, all right, I'm doing it.
Might be your last chance to go against Russ.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that you said that on the show, and that stuck with me.
This is also the game Detroit lost last year. Week 2 at home to Tampa, which probably murdered a lot of people in that Survivor pool. Then they lost to the Bills in December. That was it. Okay, Joe, always a pleasure. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy it.
Joe Ostrowski, Bet Sweats, weekday mornings on the Bet 1520 and the Odyssey app, 9 to noon, also on YouTube. Yeah, I've gotten into the habit of watching them every day now, which is, it's fun.
Yep.
I don't even really bet. Every once in a while, I feel the need to say that. A little bit. I got a $10 freebie today.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on Washington with that. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio at 4. What's up with Ed Oliver? We'll find out what Sal knows. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.